Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Well, let's talk a little Clemson football now that you Clemson fans, now that Chapel Fowler's had a few days to sleep on what he saw Saturday night in Death Valley. And we'll also talk about what's to come for this Clemson football team. Chapel, as always, we appreciate you hopping on, man. You've heard from a lot of people this week, including Dabo Swinney, quarterback Cade Klubnik, Sammy Brown, and others. Your biggest takeaway from what you've heard during the week after the loss to LSU?
Yeah, appreciate you having me, guys. I think we're hearing a lot of the same stuff we heard last year after the opener versus Georgia, which is, in as many words, that Clemson, despite a loss to an SEC team, saw some good stuff and think there's, you know, good stuff on tape and they match up well and there's some things that are, you know, that indicate a good season is ahead. I tend to believe it a little more off this game than the last game. I think just given the score, I mean, they lost by 31 last year. It was 7 this year. So I think there is like some legitimacy to that argument, especially with the defense. I think you saw on Saturday, you know, here's what a new defensive coordinator, here's what, you know, elevated coaching, new life can do to a unit. I thought Tom Allen and that defense played really well. I thought he put guys in good positions. You know, they gave up a few too many explosives, but for the most part, 17 points against that offense is a good showing. You know, that's good enough to win. I think Clemson was something like 121-3 when it allowed 24 fewer points to an opponent or something like that. It's a good low point total. On the other side, the offense has a lot of work to do, and I think that's one where it's more wait and see. But I think their sense of stuff and what they've been telling us is that they feel confident going forward. I see mostly legitimacy in that argument, but I think especially with the offense, there's some big question marks in the big game specifically that still need to get solved.
Chapel, we talked about it yesterday, just how dynamic a shift it is to hear Dabo actually publicly criticize Cade Klubnik, calling the misreads day one stuff. Now, we know that Dabo is loyal possibly to a fault and that Cade is his guy. Do you believe that it's message received with Cade Klubnik, and how have they really tried to drill in these last couple of days of practice those simple reads? This is the read, throw it to the read.
So different in terms of Dabo's public framing of stuff. I was sitting there like stunned, and I think it even started with the radio show on Monday night. You know, it's not uncommon, I'd say, to hear Dabo post game on a Saturday or on the Sunday teleconference the day after kind of diagnose, you know, here's a play that went wrong and here's why and here's what we should have done. By the time we get to Monday, that's usually been flushed and it's on to the next week. But there he is on his radio show unprompted talking about that last fourth down that Clemson didn't convert that ended the game. And he's saying, you know, we missed Tyler Brown for a touchdown there because Cade decided to scramble and I don't know why he scrambled. He said the same stuff on Tuesday about Cade in a few specific plays a few times. Talked about that with Bryant Wesco, the receiver, dropping a ball. Talked about Colin Sadler, their left guard, you know, missing a block and preventing what could have been a really big gain on a quarterback draw. So more of that from him yesterday than honestly I can remember from covering them. And I think what that tells me is that, first of all, you know, there's a sense of urgency with this team that he feels. You know, they went all in. They brought back everybody this year. This is a really good shot to do something special, and still can be if they shore up these mistakes that came up on a pretty big stage on Saturday. So I think he's pushing guys, but at the same time, I think he's also like legitimately frustrated, and he feels like everybody needs to be better, and he's not going to sugarcoat it. So Troy is not a world beater by any means, but that the simple stuff, if you execute it against Troy and at least get halfway, 75% of the way there before Georgia Tech, you know, I guess that's the best they can do right now, because there's stuff that needs to get fixed, that's for sure.
Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, joining us right here on the Fan Upstate. You mentioned in the very first answer, Chapel, just how this team knows what they did right, knows what they do wrong, and maybe has some optimism about what this season still could be. What optimism do they have when it comes to, and you talked about the offense, but specifically the running game and the offensive line? If I'm playing devil's advocate, what did they see in the game in your mind that does give them optimism that atrocious performance by the running back room can all of a sudden be better?
It's very much a double-edged sword, because I think Clemson's answer to that would be that in their minds on film review, it was less things that LSU was doing that caught them off guard or overwhelmed them, and more just poor execution on their part. But that's not like a very unique answer. And I've heard that from Clemson a few times. I think any school could say that. That's one where I think when we were talking about the passing game, receivers, Cade, I think I saw a lot of missed opportunity, even from my like non-football whiz vantage point. I mean, anybody could see Cade drops a dot to Wesco and he can't hold on, or see, you know, here's Dan Orlovsky breaking down this wide open receiver on third down that Cade didn't hit. I think there was a lot on the table there. Running game-wise, I think that's one more where, I need to see it to believe it, in terms of, is that going to be a consistent thing? I need to see Garrett Riley not shy away from the run so quickly. Need to see a veteran offensive line kind of step it up. You know, I think there's seven guys in that unit that have starting experience, and you would not have known that on Saturday. So that stuff is more, I guess you lean on the fact that the offensive line group is veteran and that they do have a well-paid and pretty successful play caller and some options at running back. But I think probably if I'm thinking about offensive question marks, I see what Cade and the receivers can be this year. I think the offensive line and running back room, and just in terms of season-long performance, have a bit more to work on to kind of gain back that confidence that they had heading into the season, because it's kind of iffy right now.
Chapel, I know Clemson hosted a lot of recruits in that game on Saturday. How did they review the experience, even though it was a loss for the Clemson Tigers? Still a great football game, still a packed house. The atmosphere was incredible. How are they responding to what they saw?
Yeah, I think I've seen over the years that like single game results maybe don't sway kids as much as I think they would at times, or the general public does. You know, their 2026 class is really strong right now. I think the key at this point is holding on to those guys, because they were in the same spot last year and kind of lost. I think it was six guys from August to December to other schools, and a lot of them are doing good things right now. I just saw Grayson Littleton, who was a corner they had in the last class, was like the highest graded freshman corner in college football last week for Texas or something like that. So it's getting those dudes and holding on to them. But I think the guys that are committed to them are locked in with them. And again, I think their rev sharing strategy is probably helping with that a little bit than it has in past years. But you know, that was a good atmosphere. That was probably, I mean, I wasn't around in 2016 when Lamar and Louisville came, but I got the sense that it was right up there in terms of the best one maybe since then, or on par. Death Valley had not had a game of that stature. You know, their last top 10 opponent was NC State in 2022. That doesn't really cut it, right, in terms of like epic proportions. So The scene was big time. I think the crowd showed up and did a great job. And that was very much a grand stage for college football. So I think recruits got a sense of that, even if the result went the other direction.
Chap, well, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you felt like Dabo maybe was just frustrated when you hear him on the radio show that he does and throughout the press conferences during the week, you know, talk about different things. You might sense some frustration there. Do you believe that Dabo Swinney understands, I guess from a big picture standpoint, that the fans' frustration, and when he's asked questions about, you know, going 0-4 in his last four against the SEC, that's not directed at him personally? Or do you feel like that when he gets frustrated and makes these fun comments about those comments, maybe it's just his frustration boiling over as well, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that was my post-game question to him. I knew he probably...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
We wouldn't like it, but I think it was valid and showed a trend. That,
very valid, by the way.
A lot of people are concerned about, or at least is evident. You know, not only 0-4 in your last four against the SEC, but 3-8 in your last 11, and they have not beat a ranked SEC opponent at time of kickoff in seven tries, not six. 2019 Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Regular season. You think about some of the losses in that span, by no means were some of those like season ending or the type of loss that just ruins everything that Dabo and Clemson have done. But I think, and even he said that last night, like, or on Saturday night, like he maybe didn't agree with the total premise of the question, but he totally acknowledged, hey, the SEC record at this point recently, that is what it is. Like, we have to fix that. And I think the frustration or concern among fans, and maybe just the national perspective on Clemson, and I think it's fair, is like, you know, that there are so many teams that would kill to be in your position, winning 9-10 games a year. That's sure. An amazing floor that Dabo and Clemson deserve all the credit in the world for establishing and keeping up at a consistent level that like only a few guys have ever done in college football history. Yeah. But there's a difference between, you know, tier 1A and tier 1B, and what we've seen in the last few years is Clemson's kind of consistent inability to get from the latter to the former, which they were at for a long time. So I think that's the type of stuff, there's context there. Like, it's not this guy's not falling. But those sort of games like LSU are kind of a microcosm of what I think are some of the bigger struggles that they've had in recent seasons that deserve some scrutiny at times.
Chapel, I'm sort of halfway asking this question facetiously. Have they considered maybe scheduling the bottom half of the SEC where they might have a better chance of getting wins? Instead of always facing top 10 teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They, it's funny. A lot of these contracts that they're working through right now got signed in somewhere like the 2016 to 2018 range. And, you know, it feels really good to sign off on playing LSU or Georgia, et cetera, when you're winning 2 out of 3 national titles. But Dabo and Clemson, to their credit, like, they've owned it. He said a few times this week, like, I wouldn't change a thing about who we play. I think he and they take a lot of pride in playing games like this against LSU. And, you know, he mentioned a few times this week, I'd rather play a game like that than win 50-3 against whoever. So obviously they really do take a lot of pride. And I think that's part of their recruiting pitch and just kind of part of what they think their program is like, we will play anybody. And I think they've played two SEC teams every year for like 20 of the past 21 years, 19 of the past 20. And the only exception was when COVID happened and they couldn't play South Carolina because of the SEC conference only schedule. So they go up against like what I would consider the best conference in the country on a consistent basis. But again, the downside of that is now suddenly you've lost three openers in a row in 4 of your last 5. And four of those 5 have been against SEC teams. So it gets a little tough when you start out doing that.
Chapel, we did this yesterday on the show, kind of a game, an overreaction game, if you will. And I don't know exactly what your preseason predictions were for Clemson going into the 2025 season, but the question was, did anything you saw this past weekend, specifically Clemson LSU, change your mind on what your original preseason prediction was?
Yeah, I'd be interested. What did y'all real quick? What was
11-1 for both of us?
Okay,
and maybe a game. I think Diesel and I maybe just had them. You know, maybe losing to. I think we still, for the most part, had them 11-1. Maybe losing to South Carolina. Maybe 10-2.
I had them losing to South Carolina before the season even started.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I usually do a game by game predictions right before the season starts. I predicted they would go 10-2.
Okay.
And I had them losing to South Carolina. And then losing, I think they've over the last few years, they really have not been immune to kind of a one bad slip up game.
Yep.
I think of Louisville last year, that's a game that nobody expected them to lose. So I think I had them losing to like SMU in the middle of this season or something, just something kind of unexpected. I don't think the LSU loss changes too much in my view. I think I went into the season thinking they were good, but not good enough to beat both of the SEC teams on their schedule.
Yeah.
So kind of the way I predicted it was, okay, if they get over the hump via LSU, I think that's probably a South Carolina loss at the end of the year. Maybe you flip it. Maybe the LSU loss, South Carolina win. That's what it turns into. I think they have the most talented roster in the ACC. They shouldn't have any issue getting to Charlotte, theoretically. I think we've seen over the last few years that no matter how things go in non-conference, they really do run that conference from a historic and consistent level. But at the same time, like everybody gives you their best shot when you're Clemson. And I think we saw some deficiencies, and there's a lot of ACC teams that are going to be gunning for them a little extra because knowing that you could not only upset a team like that, but kind of knock a title contender almost off that stage permanently. If you're giving them their, I don't know about a second loss, but a third loss or something like that in the regular season, especially in ACC, if you can knock them out of ACC title contention, that's like an extra level. So, and that starts with Georgia Tech, like next week. There's your first big test of are you going to be able to hold on and keep things going? So I wouldn't say last night changed too much. I think it just kind of showed what I've been thinking all offseason, which is that this is a good team, but not a bona fide right off the bat title contender. I was kind of surprised to see how much of that existed nationally heading into 25.
Chapel, I'm going to ask you one more sort of big picture question here because we came to you quite a bit over the summer as this Florida State-Clemson ACC lawsuit thing was happening. We've seen the MAC go to Tuesday and Wednesday night games. Conference USA is playing its October games in the middle of the week. As, you know, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami obviously all got the lion's share of ratings this past weekend. You got to assume that's going to continue, so they'll get the lion's share of this uneven revenue distribution. Do you foresee a day where, you know, the bottom end of the ACC has to resort to sort of the same thing, resorting to non-traditional nights of the week, maybe trying to steal some of that attention away from the MAC and Conference USA, just so that they can get some ratings, because otherwise they're probably not going to end up on TV very much.
That's a good point. I've never really thought about that. I think about Maction Tuesday, like they just own that space, but they really don't. I mean, that could be an ESPN and conference decision that they could make, you know, for next year right now, if they wanted to, probably. I think it's a solid idea. I don't know. Like you said, the ratings this week, I think really showed, no, again, those are really awesome primetime TV spots that any team in was probably going to succeed. But the reason that Clemson and Miami and FSU were in those primetime TV spots is because they're Clemson, Miami, and FSU. So I think that was kind of a reminder of why Clemson and FSU push for this kind of brand percentage cut of money, extra cash coming their way, and how it's going to kind of manifest itself. I could see that. I think playing games on those weird dates like that is always a good thing in moderation. Like, I don't think you should put any team doing that like two or three times a year. But I think, you know, if you approach coaches and ADs kind of with that message of, hey, you know, here's a way to benefit both of us. And I think fans will get up for those sort of games too. Like NC State, ECU on Thursday last week was awesome atmosphere. One of the better games I watched all weekend, honestly, like that stuff like that. And I know that's a non-conference game, so that's kind of special, but I think that's a good idea. Like, I don't think coaches would love it. But if you bake in, I don't know, one for most teams on any given year, like you said, the bottom half of the ACC, and really pitch it as a way for them to, you know, get notoriety and get more viewership and everything, I don't think that's a net negative by any means.
Chapel, as always, man, we appreciate your time, and we do apologize for not asking more X's and O's question about what Troy's going to do Saturday.
33.5 point favorites, man. That's a large spread. I'll say this just for the bettors. Clemson is 1-9 covering the spread in its last 10 games as a favorite of 33+.
So wow.
Well, FCS teams and Louisiana Tech 2 years ago. So,
well, Chapel, I'm an App State
those
fan.
Those spreads are ridiculous.
But. Yeah, I remember what happened last year against App State. You know, I think Clemson just scored again in that one. So I'm pretty sure Troy's in for it on Saturday.
Thanks, man, as always.
Hey, Chapel.
That was a time when they did cover the spread.
Appreciate it.
You heard him right here on the Fan Upstate. Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, 1-9 when favored by more than 30. That's a great stat from Chapel Fowler, man. I love that.
When we come back, Cole, let's see what else is happening out there in the sports world in a segment we called our Daily Wires.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.